Lord, thank you for your love for us that never lets us go. Thank you that you have promised to always be with us. Lord, we wait for you in the pages of your word, in the place of your truth. We long for you. We look for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know some of you may have trouble believing this, but when I was a little boy under 5 years old, I had a habit of wandering off. I'd just be with my mom in a store with my two twin brothers who were just 2 years older, and mom was in her 40s. And, you know, I'd just see something that was of interest, and I'd go after it, and it was just one of those things where, man, I mean, if they had had leashes then, I'm sure I would have had it. I can only remember bits and pieces. I see some of you pointing at those around you. I can only remember bits and pieces, but I remember enough to know it happened frequently. And there are two things that I remember. One of the things that I remember is the feeling of being in a strange place and looking around me and not seeing anyone I knew. And you know that sinking feeling. If you've had it happen to you, you remember. You never forget it. All of a sudden, you realize you're alone in a very big world. And it's this terrible feeling that you know, you've lost something and you might not ever get it back again. But there's also something else I remember. I remember kindness. And I remember the caring faces of total strangers who listened through my sobs and helped me get back to where I was meant to be. Inevitably, somebody would see me and lead me out of harm and back to safety. And, it happened enough that I have to wonder if when I finally get to see my guardian angel, if he's going to smack me upside the head and I'm not going to have anything to say in my defense. Maybe that's why my mother prayed so much. Like any good mom, she wanted to know her kids were safe. And she wanted to know that they knew God's love in their hearts. That's why she brought us to church. That's why she made us come, even though it was like, Mom, do we really have to go? I mean, sometimes we were so bad. Our pastor came out of retirement in this small church to help us out. And he had this habit. I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to imitate him. He had this very nasal voice, and he'd pause, and it seemed like every other word was an ah. And my brothers and I nicknamed him the Wizard of Oz. And it was not nice, but our parents, you know, I'll tell you, when I got to know that man, God, it was he that God used to say, you know, I think God may be calling you into ministry someday. So, I mean, payback, you know. Anyhow, I share these things with you because all these thoughts about lostness and kindness brings us to the Word of God in Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14. Matthew 18, 10 through 14. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should perish. Again, it was that thought that propelled my mom to bring us to church. She wanted us to know Jesus because the more she lived, the more she knew how difficult life can be. And life is hard, but it is so much harder without God. May we pray. Lord, we need you. We need to hear from you. We need your Spirit to speak to us. We need, no matter our age, oh, the beauty of your peace. Move among us, we pray, Lord. Speak to us. Revive us. Breathe your life into us, we pray, that we may truly love you and be about you. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I think it helps to see in this parable is that Jesus isn't just talking about children when he says, do not despise one of these little ones. Go back a few verses in Matthew 18:5, and you'll see why I can say that. He's referring to little ones as those who believe in me. So this is an affectionate phrase. Think of the woman who said, even the little dogs get to eat the scraps that are under the table. It was that same diminutive, affectionate phrase. Also, Jesus' words about their angels in heaven who always see the face of my Father in heaven. This is one of the main verses for understanding that we have guardian angels, that there are powerful forces at work on our behalf. And again, this doesn't just apply to kids. It certainly applies to them, but it applies to all believers in Jesus, especially the humble in heart. So where is Jesus going in verse 12 when he says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? You might read this verse and you might think, you know, as some of us skeptics naturally do, well, what about the 99? What happens to them? But the truth is that shepherds in that time in the Middle East worked together. And so the 99 were safe and they were looked after. But Jesus places the emphasis on the one who is lost because he wants to show us what the Father's heart is like, how deeply he desires for us to be near him, no matter where we may have been. It helps to go deeper by looking into this passage or this same parable in Luke 15. When Luke tells it, he introduces it by saying, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's how Luke introduces the parable. So notice how Jesus describes the lost sheep in Matthew 18:12. Let's go back there. One who wanders away. When Luke records this parable, he puts it together with one about a lost coin and about a lost son, the parable of the prodigal son. And I think my favorite line from that parable is, when he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran to him and threw his arms around him. So this helps us understand where Jesus is going in Matthew 18:13. When he says, the shepherd is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 who did not wander off. He's pointing to God's deep love for you and me when we are lost in our sin and the pain that inevitably results from it, and the choices we've made that have taken us far from him. Here we see the reason Jesus came, to love us back to the Father. Just look at how Luke describes the shepherd's response in Luke 15:5-6. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. So it's this picture of joy and care and tenderness. And the point of this is that if you have been far away, God is not mad at you. He just wants you to come home. So much that he went out to look for you, to take great pains, even the pain of the cross, to bring you back. That's who Jesus is. That is why he came. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." The prophet Isaiah also used this imagery, and it's amazing. He saw Jesus 7 centuries before his birth. Imagine that. Just imagine being able to look 700 years into the future and call out what is there. That is what is possible by the Spirit of God. And that is what Isaiah did. When he wrote about Jesus and about us, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. Even before we were born, our Savior saw us. He knew what we would do and chose to go after us. Again, it's why he went to the cross, to bring us home. When David wrote about the Lord as a shepherd in Psalm 23, he said, "Surely your love and goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But that word, "follow" in the Hebrew, carries a strong sense of intent, so that it can also be translated "pursue." Surely your love and goodness will pursue me all the days of my life. You and I are pursued by this great love. God has gone after us. And if you've received him, you need to know that he will never stop loving you. You matter that much to him. But if you are still running from him, oh, you need to know that he knows you and loves you right where you are. And he's standing there, arms wide open. He's right behind you, waiting for you to turn to him, to pull you close to himself. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. There is nothing better than receiving his love and living in it. Think again of the joy on the shepherd's face. This is from Jesus. Joyfully puts it on his shoulders. "Rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep." That joy is you when you come to him. That joy is me when we come to him. That amazes me. But that is the depth and the truth of the Word of God. That even you and I, that our God could be that personal and love us that tenderly. I hope that as we look at this morning, we can take that to heart. No matter where we are, if we're walking with him, great, to just pull that much closer. To ask, because isn't it true? We can always pray, "Lord, help me love you more. Help me love you more." And if we're far from him, to understand that no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what others say, no matter what thoughts and labels are crowding through our hearts and minds, no matter how we may have failed and let others or let ourselves down, this love comes after us. rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep. And that encounter doesn't happen back at home. That encounter happens out in the wild place, out in the difficult place, out in the place of sin, out in the place of hardship and doubt and fear and being alone. And into that place, God sends His Son and sends His Spirit to welcome us home. There's one hymn that sums it up well. Hallelujah. What a Savior. May we pray. Where are you now? Are you in that place where you know the shepherd has come to find me? Don't miss this moment. Turn to him. He waits to pick you up. Remember Luke, the shepherd picks up the sheep, puts it on his shoulders, brings it home. And to turn to him, our prayer can simply be, yes, Lord, yes. I do turn to you. You are my shepherd. I turn from my sin to you. And I receive you. And I want to follow you. And I need you to carry me all the way home. But all give me grace. Save me and set me free to be yours, all yours, to live in your joy, to know it, to know you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had the weirdest dream when I woke up this morning. It was the dream that woke me up. I dreamt that I had my notebook and I was walking in some back alley and I had dropped it down into the basement of this, I think it was a Chinese restaurant. And as I'm picking up my pencils, bam, there's this gunshot. And I turn around, it's like, what am I a witness to? What has just happened? And I see this couple over here talking, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's another gunshot, and what I see is they've been shooting at a rat. And I wake up, and, you know, I'd like to say there's some great meaning to this, but maybe it had to do with, I don't know, too much soy sauce on my Mugu Gaipan last night before I went to bed. But the question is, where does our real sustenance come from? Where is the strength of our souls? Jesus knew what we would need, body and soul. And so he uses the most down-to-earth imagery imaginable. And he takes bread and breaks it and says, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat." After they had eaten, he picked up the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, the new agreement with God in my blood that is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. All of you drink of it." Paul writes about this: as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim or we show forth the Lord's death until he comes. What we believe about this is that this is more than just in remembrance of me. Jesus said, "Yes, do this in remembrance of me." But Jesus also said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood." So he is truly present in this sacrament to strengthen us and help us follow him. So as we come to it, we encourage you to come two ways. The first in faith, believing in Jesus, depending on him. And the second is humbly in repentance. We ask that if you're thinking, you know, hey, that sin that I did, I kind of liked earlier, and I'm just going to go right back to that after I leave church today. Don't come to this table this way. A better way would be, "Lord, you know how I'm struggling. Help me there. Give me your grace. And I want you more than I want that. And so I come to your table and ask, give me strength on the deepest level, deep inside, to know you, to walk with you." Before we come to the Lord's table, there's one more song that we're going to sing, and let's just sing it as a prayer and take that time as we sing it to prepare our hearts. Then we've got one that we'll sing after communion as well. That was a request, and good to do. And anyhow, let's just sing "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us," and confess any sins. Take this time to set our hearts right with God before we come to the table. Paige, we are good to go. While Paige is singing, please feel free to come to the Lord's table. Blessed
Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, and we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us. We are.
This is my body broken for you. Take, eat. Thank you, our beautiful Savior, our beautiful Savior. Thank you for calling us to yourself, for running to find us, for bringing us home at great cost, for bringing us together as a community, as a flock. Thank you that your goodness and love will pursue us all of the days of our lives, and we will dwell in your house forever. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One more hymn to sing, kind of as a benediction. Blessed be the tie that binds. We're ready. Again, great. Thank you. You know, just this whole emphasis upon the Good Shepherd. I kind of sang this wrong today. I sang the fellow sheep of kindred minds, but it's good to have fellow sheep. Don't mind me. God bless us. I know some people are just shaking their heads. It's just stop, quit. Lord, bless us and send us to love others to you. We want to go on your search and rescue mission this week. Bless us to be your very own, to stay close, to live in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.